years just because of the floods bringing the ceilings down. So, and it's great joy. I think they probably ought to, but they've only just started realizing that treating this as a legal issue is probably the right way to look at it. So they're not really the sort of people that are up for understanding the intricacies of the committee, I guess. I mean, you would have thought they could, but it's actually quite hard work. The law isn't very clear. That's a good question. They might be able to. It's just, it's so strapped now. You know, like, the Citizens Advice Bureau is so hard to actually get access to because they have so many cases and so few people. So, but yeah, that's probably the next thing they'll have to do. Okay. Right. Well, I thought the right thing to do was to review what Weiqing's been doing in the area of dialogue structure for Work Package 1 over the last period. So basically for him to talk about what progress he's been making, and then for us to for him to describe what work he intends over the next period of the project, and for us to figure out what help he needs with that, maybe give him some help figuring out what publications he's going to get out of this, and for us to make sure that it fits into the overall project. So this is something that, you know, we're not going to do everything today, but I wanted to make sure that we sort of all aligned on what he was doing at the moment, and then sort of figured out how to give him the best advice coming up. So that's why I called this.
Licensing and official certification.
I'm a little bit confused. So, when you say interactivity, do you mean, well, how would you characterize a highly interactive meeting? What are the measurements you'd apply? So you, I think what you're doing is segmenting meetings into highly interactive parts and not so interactive parts, where you think some of them are like a bit like dialogue and some are a bit like monologue. So what measurements would you apply to find out which is which? So you mean relatively short turns and speaker change? So am I right in thinking you think that you can segment meetings maybe into two types of areas, interactive and non-interactive? So what are the characteristics of the interactive areas? So but you just said, I think that you would characterize short turns as being the non-interactive parts. Oh, okay. Well, we can discount back channels. I mean, are you, is it okay if we talk about this for a minute? Because I'm confused. Or do you get a because if this is all we've got, I think we should have interactive and non-interactive on the board and then figure out what properties go in each, just so we're clear what the two mean. Well, okay. But you need to be more precise what you mean by speaker change. So, do you mean all of the speakers are involved in it? Is it sufficient for two speakers? Right. And then. Okay, but that's you can that's definitional, right? So I mean you wouldn't necessarily consider that to change the turns. Those are just back channels. So one speaker will have the floor channel throughout that. And so I guess what you're saying is that the interactive sections would have shorter speaker turns when you're not considering the back channels as interruptions. So, well, yeah, sufficient but not necessary, maybe. It depends if you had a bunch of people all just giving information and opinion around the table, and they never actually asked questions of each other, but the turns were actually quite short, which one would it be? Right. Okay. I remember you saying this before. So basically, you want to do this segmentation because you're going to apply completely different analyses to the two sections. Right. So Wei-Ching takes quite a strong position on this difference between these two kinds of group activities, because he says that they admit different kinds of analyses, right? With the non-interactive, more monologic sections of the meeting, you have to analyze them using something akin to rhetorical structure or something. And with the other sections, you use some other theory to look at them. And I actually think that that's a slightly extreme position with regard to the literature, that a lot of people might say it doesn't really matter who the different speakers are in an interactive section. You can still build maybe the same argument structure over the top of the basic acts and propositional content that's there. And what you get is a messier version of the argument structure because not everybody has the same argument in their brain, you know, for this, but that the same theory or the same analysis can be applied to both parts. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And if you do need to argue that these two kinds of group activities can only be analyzed if you use different analytical mechanisms, then you have to explain why that is, right? So it puts an extra burden of proof on the work that you do. Right. But to the degree that a group is building an argument together, I mean, I think what you're doing in a group discussion isn't necessarily one coherent argument for the person, but an argument that is the group view. And so it's maybe it's not RST, but it's more akin to, I don't know, is it Toulmin? But, you know, not that, but, you know, the kinds of things where people to try to represent argument structure. Are the important aspects of it for this analysis really that substantively different, though? But if there's been an argument so far in a group meeting, and somebody makes a statement, they have an intention about how to modify that group argument. Right, but you're okay. So the relation names aren't right, but okay. Well, the relation names are less important. I mean, people have argued for ages about exactly what relations are in any of these theories, and that's less important than what the theory is trying to achieve. And it just seems to me that if you've got to have two separate apparatuses for the speaker internal argument structure and the group argument structure, that's more apparatus than you should actually need for from doing this kind of analysis, because in both cases, building up an argument publicly in this group meeting and then, you know, adding something or changing the existing argument in some way by relating a contribution to what's already on the table. So. Yeah, I just think, well, I mean, all of these things, when they encounter a new genre of actual data, then they end up modifying, building new kinds of relations with new kinds of semantics and adding them. That's the entire history of these. Yeah.
The utterances in the representation were uttered by two different parties. It wasn't the, you know, in the example she showed us, there was some that was just, you know, one party. It was a monologue, but then there was a snippet of dialogue.
Right. So there you've got somebody who's doing theoretical development that would claim that you don't need two separate and analytical frameworks for these two types of activities that Wei Qing has identified. Yeah, I just prefer it to be one thing rather than two completely separate things, and then the added explanation of why it's not possible to have the same thing apply to both halves. So. Yeah. Yeah, which probably wouldn't give us the kind of information that we need about relations across turns, just because we really are critically interested in the argument that the group is building up, so that we can find the decisions that they made and any counter proposals to proposals that have been made and things. I mean, it really is more in the spirit of the RST-ish relations than in the damsel kinds of relationships. What we want out of the relationships between speakers here, they are jointly building up an argument structure, and that is the critical thing that we're missing in order to be able to understand what's happening in these meetings. So we wouldn't want to do the same thing as what she did in this case, just because damsel doesn't give you the right sort of representation between speakers. Oh, does it? Okay. I haven't seen it on that this kind of data, so maybe. Right. Okay. But what I mean is, you want to make sure you get the argumentative relations, however you do it, whichever relations you have to build. You know, I'm not saying that there's a particular set of tags or relations that have been defined out there that are the right ones. I'm just saying we need the correct ones for the structure that we're trying to get out of this, because we need certain information out of this analysis. Okay. Yeah. Well, Witching's been looking at the data, so that's his step for this.
And can be expanded to more than two persons. Actually, they're not one of the same groups.
Yeah. Well, what you'll need in the end is something operational. So something that you can use to actually segment meetings into the areas that you think are important for this analysis, right? So it's not quite clear to me what the different kinds of things are. So it would be, I think, handy if you could take a meeting at some point and say, you know, this is a interactive area and this is a monologic area, because, and we could come up with what kinds of measurements you mean. I mean, we haven't done past work here on segmenting meetings in that way, but we have done work on characterizing different kinds of meetings in terms of how highly interactive they are. But it's a different definition, right? It's in terms of how much all of the people involved in the meeting take equal part in it, as opposed to like the highest status people in the meeting just driving it and the other people following whatever the high status people want. So, but those kinds of measures, you know, we could use to do this kind of segmentation if it's important to the analysis. Right. But we need clearer definitions of what the different things are. How many different kinds of activities are there? You know, is it just interactive and non-interactive, or are there more grades of shading than that? And you know, what are the things that you expect in each? What's the back channeling behavior? What's the speaker turn? You know, what kind of dialogue acts do you expect? I think that would help you pin down what the definitions are.
Conversation analysis, so
Do you think it matters whether something is knowledge or opinion in the way it contributes to the group process? Yeah, I sort of have always taken the view that that while people aren't very good at this kind of rationality, you know, and the difference between information and opinion isn't that prominent in the way people do their reasoning. So well, you can't define them that way. You can't define the difference between information and opinion that way, because that's basically defining as the what happened about it. And I think what tends to happen is that if people challenge the facts, you often discover that they weren't actually solid facts anyway. You know, that they're, I think the boundary between these is kind of fluid. So I guess the question is, is it important to, what's it important to? So do you need the difference between information and opinion to do this analysis? So what have you been looking at? So you've got books that high on your desk. Which ones are they? Okay, so I'm sort of getting that you think there's a lack in the theory to do with exchange structure at the moment, but I'm not quite clear yet what you think the lack is. So well, are you thinking, it's been a while since I've read this literature, but I mean, my understanding of exchanges is that the initiating move introduces a goal to the discourse, and then the remaining moves will contribute to either the meeting of that discourse goal or the decision not to bother with that discourse goal, right? And so I'd be surprised if there wasn't work describing things in those terms. I mean, I know Sinclair and Coulthard is basically about teaching. Yeah. So you wouldn't expect that to necessarily apply in wider contexts in a way. Like, you might expect to have to extend the theory to do that. But I think there are other people have looked at exchange structure and described it in these terms in a way that should really suit your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
depend on the information, a direction of the information flow, and also the speaker role. Because in the information signals, the roles of the two participants are different. One is mainly the, from the agency, tourism agency, that is the main information provider.
So this is a lot like George Horton's work on saying what are the different parameters for these exchanges. You know, what are the things that characterize the set of exchanges that can happen? So is your complaint less about knowing what makes an exchange and more about knowing how you parameterize exchanges for this genre? So what's the range? Okay, so you're worried about what's the range of exchange types for this genre, and that's what you think hasn't been done. Okay, that's clear. So have you tried, I mean, I know of one previous attempt to establish what exchanges are needed for some kinds of industry meetings, and our experience in that project was that you can't really identify exchange structures in these meetings because they don't really follow that pattern. That exchanges are clear in, they're clearer in when you've got fewer people, so there's fewer people trying to pull the discourse goals in different directions. And they're clearer when your goals are quite limited. So when you've just got information exchange, and you know, or there's a clear task that the people are trying to do, and they're focused on that task, as is normal in dialogue elicitation, like map task, or like your information-seeking dialogues, which wasn't dialogue elicitation, but it was very constrained in genre. So the answer to the question might be nobody knows what the catalog of exchanges is for real meetings, because or for these decision-making meetings, because you can't identify exchanges, right? So have you gone through the meetings and looked for initiations and responses without a prior catalog, just knowing that an initiation introduces a new discourse goal, and a response meets or negates that goal in some way. So have you tried marking these exchanges? Yeah, but a reading of this, you know, could tell you that there is no case where you're going to be looking for initiation and responses that's going to work, you know, because you could go through and see that actually the pattern of addressing different discourse goals is too dispersed to be able to do that kind of markup. But obviously you want to have a front runner scheme in mind before you. So that's it.
Oh, so that was it on dialogue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's very unclear to me why you think exchange of information is more principled. Did your specific schemes in mind there? Or specific people's work that you were
Do you mean an action in terms of what the group is requiring him to do, or do you mean an action in, like, picking something up? So action in the technical meeting sense, or just action in the physical sense? All right, okay. Oh, so that's not a physical action, right? If I pick this up, which is a physical action, you can't reject that. What do you mean? Right, that's right. That's a action in the sort of technical sense of meetings. So you are actioned to do something, which is part of the permanent record that, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I mean, I think that there are a lot of things that we have to look at before. I mean, yeah, I mean,
well, there are very few schemes for marking up exchanges on actual data, right? Because people haven't considered it very important. Well, I always thought they get tired after marking up the dialogue moves, so they never bother with any higher level dialogue structure. So we did it in the map task, but I don't actually know of other cases where people bothered marking anything higher level than the map, than the move structure, right? You don't know if. Oh yeah, sorry. But it's not been very popular, partly because it makes some. different. Well, the first step is find out in the what, how much of the material does the collaborative problem solving cover? So how much of a genre clash is there here? Well, it's but there are people in the field that are moving that direction, like Martin. And also, what's important here is the theoretical clarity about what an initiation and a response is. So what is it that ties different acts together at a higher level, you know? But I think more important than looking at whether parts of the meeting are highly interactive or not so interactive is looking at what sort of task the people are trying to do at the moment. So, you know, are they doing, as in the kickoff meeting, just exchanging information to get started with the project, or are they actually addressing some specific design criteria at the moment to try to decide which shape the thing is? Because that's going to affect the kinds of relations that you get between the utterances. And so that is much more like the literature from McGrath about the different kinds of activities groups get into. So I think that's another thing that has to be pulled into this, because you do require different different kinds of relations, or you expect different kinds of relations from some overarching set in those different kinds of activities. So what's the high-level version again? Right, okay. I mean, the meeting actions is just going to be a segmentation. It's not going to present any microstructure. So it's just going to say from here to here they're doing something. That's all that that scheme is going to do. That's individual actions. And the meeting actions are meant to become more semantic and more theoretical than the kind EDIOP have traditionally used. So we need to still preserve some sense of the activity, but rather than saying it as somebody's at the whiteboard, it'll be, you know, that somebody's explaining something that the others are focused on. Yeah. It's a different scheme. Well, you might need the meeting action segmentation in order to know where what area you're circumventing for. So it's just exchange structure in this area that you're looking at, and then that's a solid boundary between the next bit or something. I don't know. Well, time's getting on. So, you know, what practical things can we do to help this work move forward? So show what else you're thinking about. Yeah. Well, marking up exchange structure, if it's there, and if you've got a working scheme for it, is relatively cheap. It's a lot cheaper than doing dialog at coding in the first place. Right. Well, one presumes it is, otherwise it's going to be radically expensive to do any kind of markup. So, you know, it's something that we can look at, but you need to, what we need, it's more important than knowing, you know, that we need exchange structure marked up on X amount of data at this point, is knowing where you're headed with this, I think. So what's the good that the project gets out of this in the end? So, you know, what's the headline results of the work on the project, I think is what we're trying to get a sense of here. So you get your exchange structure marked up, and say we just put in the money, get exchange structure marked up on the entire hub, or, you know, figure out how to bootstrap it so we get this. How do you sell that as a project goal? You know, because people are going to say exchange structure. So what? How do you plug that into the rest of the stuff? Right? Yeah. See, because I think that just to make this more efficient, you should be thinking about the high-level goal in order to focus the work that you're doing, rather than thinking, well, you know, there's these theories, you know, how can we apply these theories to it? And then seeing what comes out of that that might be useful for the meeting browser. Actually trying to say, yeah, we have a goal of being able to do this with the meeting browser. What kinds of dialogue structure would we need to be able to do that? I mean, I don't know, maybe you'd want to disagree with that, but this more goal-directed might actually make it easier to bring these things to publication in the long run, right? Right. It's not necessarily what they say, but it's something, at least identify something that we'd hope to get out of it, you know.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's clear that something at this level needs to be there. I mean, and to ask questions like who disagreed or were there any counter proposals or whatever, even those kind of questions, you need some kind of
It just helps you know which theory you should be concentrating on. So, you know, that immediately discounts exchange structures that are mostly for information seeking alone, because the notion of exchange is too restricted there and in favor of these more argumentative things. So, I mean, I do think you should keep in mind what the final goal is so that you can plug this into something at the end and show some benefit of having the markup.
Just some specific, you know, recommendation, things like that. I mean, you know, those, you know, strike me as clear things that, you know, people at decision making meetings want to know if they've missed one or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, operationally, it's not going to make much difference whether it's hub or not, right? Because we've got the bank of people. We have to get the hub stuff through, but, you know, he's not ready with an annotation scheme that can be used at the moment anyway. So, and it's not that expensive. I mean, it's something that we can afford off budget. Cause yeah, and it's too different a genre. Yeah.
I think, you know, well, so one thing that's going to be interesting is what can you do? Because presumably the DFKI folk or somebody is going to mark up a lot of the data with sort of tags about ontology.
Yeah, that's not hub either, but yeah, they're sure to do that.
TNO is and DFKI is. So there will be some kind of domain semantics, and there will also be presumably some kind of task hierarchy modeling going on because the whole browser working group final sort of presentation on that second day was about knowing the task. And there are, you know, details about which task is this, you know, which subtask is this little chunk of the meeting addressing and furthering in various ways, right? Which seems like it will be really hard in an open domain.
Well, I don't remember that about the I mean the Oh, but that was about what task the person doing the browsing was going to do. They didn't say anything about what sort of information they'd want from the meeting itself. It was about
they made it clear.
That was the browser task. You know, they've identified these seven different tasks people might want to do with browsers. You know, like join a meeting late and catch up on what's happened in the meeting so far. Be at home waiting for the wash and repair guy. And yeah. Okay, well,
and
maybe.
The domain tasks, okay, they're now, they now have to decide how many buttons to put on this thing. I mean, it was all about the domain tasks.
Okay.
And it was really, and given that, it's really scary to think about what you could possibly do in an open domain where you don't know what the tasks are. And I don't think you're going to be able to figure them out.
But I thought you wanted to avoid doing stuff that was stuck in this particular domain, if possible. But, you know, they were concentrating. Well, yeah. But that doesn't mean you have to be using the techniques that you can be using open domain techniques. And you don't think that can be done in open domain at all? Because we don't want to get into working with ontologies. I mean, one of the strengths of this grouping was that, you know, they'll work with the closed domain ontologies and we'll do the open domain side of things. So, I don't know.
Well, right.
We'll see. Oh, right, yeah, so we don't know what happened at that one, yeah.
So, I mean, we'll get that back on track, but I think that we don't, you know, there will be some meeting browser demo that, you know, I think it's an interesting question of, okay, well, if you have knowledge, here's what you can do. If you don't have that knowledge, you have to do different things, and, you know, you can't necessarily.
Yeah, so are you advising Weiqing that he should be using like any ontologies and propositional content that DFKI and TNO bank in the CVS repository or not? That's what I'm not clear on.
When he does these learning experiments, he should do them two ways. Because he will
with and without. Okay.
You can see, like, well, without, you know, these tags. So, you know, Alex was showing yesterday, well, without knowing the head word of the utterance of the lead, you know, you get these kinds of results. And when you add that in, you get these other kinds of results.
Yeah.
And, you
different
know,
feature combinations.
Yeah. So I think if we have those features, it's, you know, it's a rare opportunity that you
can actually try. Yeah.
One head to head against the other. And then, of course, to make sure that you really.
I don't know when they'll bank these, by the way, because it's not hub, so it's one of these things where everybody's supposed to bank as many things as possible.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, we won't use until they're ready, obviously, so we might need to be sort of open domain, you know, although it will be a closed domain. I mean, we can't.
Yeah,
use
but open
domain.
Yeah, it's not really an open domain task. Yeah. Well, eventually the hub is supposed to be 40% non-scenario.
Right.
But that data is definitely going to be coming in last. So. Yeah, that's quite reasonable. We've got five ISCO meetings, actually, which are still an elicitation task, but they're not our domain. So that should help some. And they've been declared hub. So So they'll accrue all of the normal annotations. Of course, yeah, you'll never get the TNO and DFTS stuff on it because they're only billing stuff for the one domain. Yeah. Yeah, just figure out how we're going to help him to try to make this more efficient.
So before we do that, can I just ask you a question about chunking? In the beginning, you said something about you're doing this chunking, you're doing it on the ICSI data, but this was, did you say it wasn't picked up in AMI? Or I was confused.
Yeah. Yeah, but we should make sure we finish that off because otherwise that work's just wasted, right?
Exactly.
We're going to use chunks for something useful. Yeah, chunks are going to be
so
named entities, if nothing else. Automatic segmentation at which level? Dialogue Act. Yeah.
And I mean, it seems to me that chunking should have some kind of. So if your Dialogue Act segmenter says there's,
yeah,
there's a segment here, but your chunker said, no, this is a coherent chunk.
Yeah, then that's a problem. Yeah. Certainly, if you've got chunks, it ought to help you know where your dialogue act boundaries better not be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it may be even more mechanical than that, based on the examples we're seeing from DFKI, because they're hand marking stuff, and the dialogue act boundaries are supposed to be intentional, but they seem to always be marking them at after verbs, you know, with clause. It looks quite mechanical, so we're querying them about this because that's not the way they're supposed to be doing it.
So it sounds like,
well, hold on, but when do we need chunking by? And it, you know, so I don't like the idea that, you know, you start something and then 18 months later you pick up to do the last 10% of the work to finish it off or whatever. So I like things kind of tidy. Right. So how much work is there left and when do we actually need it by would be useful to discuss.
Well, you wanted to do the chunking on the AMI data, right?
Yeah. The AMI data is there. There's HubSpot A is transcribed, I think, in final form. We can check the wikis, but you know, the data is rolling in. So but Barbara still says somebody's done this for chunks. I'll have to look up, you know, so hand chunked. Mm-hmm. But that shouldn't be that hard to do, right? How much data do you need?
How much,
I don't read lips. What was that? Was it hard? Yeah. The data, how much data you need was not a problem with the switchboard because he had lots, so he didn't have to think about how much. So we need to know how much data you need hand chunked. And then how do you hand chunk stuff, right? So you were working on instructions for doing hand chunking. For switchboard, yeah. But then there were two possible options for doing this on the AMI data. You could either essentially go the same route as they did with the switchboard, do the pen tree bank and then create the chunks off that, or you could chunk directly. And it wasn't clear to us which one of those two methods was the right way to do this. Right, well, so you'd have to produce as part of this exercise. You would have thought so, but I don't know. Oh, yes, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. But that's not very similar. Well, I don't know very much about grammar. Is that similar enough that this same method could apply, that we derive chunks off the HPSG output? I think you might lose a lot in, the step. So basically, your chunker is trained on something that was derived off pen tree bank, and it might be different enough that actually causes it not to match. If you're suddenly evaluating against chunks that were done using HPSG, I don't know about grammar, but it. Yeah, and the mappings can be pretty difficult for this, right? Or is it easy to map between finer grain distinctions and coarser ones? Think so. Yeah. The names would suggest that this was the idea, right? Yeah. Right, so that sort of assumes that we think it's better to do this by deriving chunks from some parsed format than just hand chunking the stuff. Yeah. So let's try it this way, and then that puts off the question of when do we have to do this to when we get HPSG stuff, right? So can you ask DFKI whether they can give us a couple AMI meetings run through their HPSG process? I don't even know what timescale they had in mind. I mean, is this something they were doing it at the moment, but I don't know whether this was very preliminary or do you remember? Twente, yeah. Yeah. You're expecting me to remember stuff, aren't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't even know which one I missed. Brussels, Amsterdam,
TNO.
TNO, okay. See, I wasn't there, so I don't know where it was. So ask him, right? So it's talk to Alex, see if it looks like it maps by looking at the verbmobile. If it does, ask DFKI either for data or a timescale, and you're going to need to know how much data you need in order to do that. So do you have a technique for estimating how much data you need? I don't know how you do that, so who knows how you do that? Okay, so just ask DFKI how much data and when, right? Yeah, I know. We don't have any particular time in mind when we need a chunker that works on this stuff, so... Like, if we did a chunked version of the AMI data and stuck it in the CVS under the automatic contributions, then people would end up using it, because they do that, right? So the question is, at what stage should we put that in? Yeah, so post-evaluation, so we can put in some idea of what the evaluation is like.
So, but nobody has expressed like massive interest in chunking, so I think, you know, nobody's
relying on it this summer.
I think we should talk to Barbara about how to do some joint experiments, or if she's going to be sending other people, maybe Liz or whoever comes over next time. And
so when do you think that would be? When is she sending somebody?
She said that
for the next one. But that's a pretty tight time scale then, right? Because it'd be for the fall, we'd want to know the evaluation. Is that the time scale you're thinking of? For how it could be done. Yeah. Vessel, I think. I think you should still ask Barbara again, you know, can you have another think about who might have the chunking stuff? Because she has said several times there must be somebody and she can help with that. And I think she's just forgotten. So then we can evaluate on the ICSI, you know, pretty easily.
Report that described, you know, okay, this is what these people do.
Yeah, even if it's just to, you know, on a wiki, the references and then why they're relevant, right? I mean, you don't want to make this really formal, or do you? Yeah, paragraph each. Yeah. Yeah. But that would help us be a lot more specific than just you know, listing bullet points on slides, because then we'd know sort of which literature you're thinking of putting in, and we could read the most important argumentative stuff. I can have these things anyway, yeah. Yeah. They haven't addressed this problem. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have to go very soon because I've got this hearing to go to. But so the practical actions, you know, what are the things we're gonna go away and do? Yeah. Yeah. So you can do this exercise and then come and talk to me sometime next week. I'm not in Monday, but the other days I'll be around. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this is interesting, but I don't think we can afford to look at this right now. So why don't you bring it by next week? And what I really want to do concentrate just now is finding out how we're gonna help Wei-Qing with making progress on this. So we've already got, you know, he's gonna construct a list of the references he thinks is important, and Johanna and I and you as well are gonna contribute to that. And we can put that on a wiki, or we can do it some other way. I mean, you know, I'm wiki mad, so. If we share it should go on a wiki because I can't find anything in my email, but you know, you don't have to do that. And then how do we you're actually so what you're doing is taking all of the most important references for finding argument structure that might eventually be of some use to a meeting browser and trying to look at actual data and apply and see like which one helps you figure out what you're actually going to do with this particular data, right? So it seems to me that we should take like the front runner scheme and the data. You should look at not front runner scheme, but front runner theory and see if you can speak to the data, you know, using that kind of theory at some point. And that might be an interesting exercise, right? Yep.
Results of following people around and looking at
Yeah, but that's a good starting point, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So you want to go through basically the user requirements and, you know, maybe think about some user requirements of your own and make a case for, you know, these are the kinds of things that we'd want. And look, you're going to need this kind of dialogue or argument structure for it. I'll think about that. Yeah, so we're just trying to get records. I mean, I'm sure they're not on the web yet, so. Yeah. 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 Okay. So we're going to go through the requirements like that. And did you think that this was reasonable to, after that, to try and actually, you know, take some theory that seems fairly reasonable and think about particular data and come and talk. Yeah, there's a few references missing. Yeah. Yep. So then try a front runner schema on, well, a front runner theory. But try it informally. Yep. When do we get together again? Because I really do have to go. I promised these guys I'd be there. But reading lists before that, though, so, right? So we'll get together in about 3 weeks.
So we should get together sometime about
4 weeks, yeah.
So when are you going to bring this beautiful baby in to see everybody?
Right. I'm going to head off.
Yep, well, good luck.
Because floods are more important than dialogue structure, I'm afraid.
I need them. So, yeah, you don't mind asking her if I can get a photocopy of you.
So they say we can just carry all.
I don't know. So I'm going to leave it here for now. Oh,
I think she said it.
She said you can take them away because they
yeah.
haven't recorded.
Yeah.
I thought she photocopied them before.
Okay, we'll check with her.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jean.
I always like dialogue structure. I haven't done a lot of dialogue structure stuff in a long time, but never mind.
So where can I find her to tell her that?
She's in the back.